powered wire select key. And Mr. Bill. Are you there, Mr. Bill?
Did you lose him?
Are you there, Mr. Bill? Mr. Bill is not there.
Well, I can talk if you want to try and get him again.
Okay. Start talking.
He's remote, so I'm live and he's remote. He's live. He's just live somewhere else. Anyhow, I went to your fall chili classic. It was amazing. It was pretty crowded. And, oh, he's calling me. And Greg's calling you, so hang up. It's a family show. We could do this, right? Yeah. And so now do you got him?
Yeah, I got you. But for some reason, I got disconnected when he went on hold.
I think you hung up on me, Bill.
Negative. Not
That's okay.
At all.
It's that remote
I've
location.
I've had a lot of people hang up on me today, so.
No, and I'm showing at least two bars on my phone, so okay. I don't know
yeah.
what happened.
Oh, yeah, some, that'll do it. Like, yeah. Yeah. Two bars. Anyhow.
You've been at two bars already today?
Yeah. Oh. That's not happening. I got too much to do.
Well, anyhow, your chili cook-off or your chili or your fall fest. Let's call it the fall fest because there was a lot going on. I mean, I didn't expect that much stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And it was full of people. So imagine how it's going to go next year outside. I mean, this is not your first year, but it's your first year in downtown Jackson.
And really, the weather was not the greatest. It wasn't the worst.
Great weather for chili.
For chili, it was, but
it's a little windy.
A little breezy.
I had two of my three dogs with me, and we couldn't taste the chili because I had two leashes, one in each hand. So I did get to
Jackie. That was not very good planning.
No, but they needed to get out and stretch their legs.
Okay.
And so they were
like
happy.
Chili?
They would love to have chili.
The dogs.
And they may have had a taste of the Brightwell's team's chili.
Okay.
Of course, because that's where we always beeline to.
Sure.
But anyhow, good job. Hats off to 105.3 for pulling that all together.
Great job.
Great job. So, Bill, you've been busy this week. What? I mean, like, what have you been working on, for God's sake? You played golf yesterday. Did you remember how to play?
Yeah, I remembered how to play. Yeah, and I found 54 golf balls when I played on Saturday.
We don't make money doing anything other than reselling the golf balls he finds.
Greg, can you believe that? 54 golf balls in 9 holes, not 18 holes. That was in 9 holes.
Wow.
And, yeah, they'd closed the course, actually. This is Red Hawk. Spectacular golf course in northern Michigan. If you're a golfer, you got to play this course. But at any rate, they had the varsity golf team outing on Saturday. And so I came up, and because I'm the only person that walks the course, you know, I've got one of these electric push carts, remote carts. So I went out. They finished about 3:30. I teed it up at 4:00. There's nobody on the golf course.
They hire Bill. They should hire Bill to clean the course.
And I hadn't been there in over a week. And this is a golf course that's heavily wooded and lots of grass and swamp between some of the tees and greens. And it's like picking blueberries sometimes. And that's what it was like on Saturday.
Probably easier because they're bigger.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway. But
so what have you been working on? Let's talk real estate.
All righty. I mentioned before. At some point, I don't know, but I've done several hundred boundary disputes over the years. As I mentioned, I'm now in my 50th year of practice. We'll celebrate that anniversary in May of 2022, and literally hundreds of boundary disputes.
Okay, but what was the, is there one specific thing that you want to talk about?
Yeah, boundary disputes.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, because you also aren't you closing on a commercial property? Is there anything?
Yeah, that's today. Yeah, that's today in northern Michigan where, this thing got scheduled late. So I've got to head over to, I'm about to depart here as soon as the show's over for northern the hinterlands to close a cannabis deal, marijuana deal. At any rate, this last week I was a mediator on an adverse possession case. And again, this is a boundary case where neighbors are at each other's throats. I mean, at each other's throats. I won't tell you where this was. We ended up mediating it. We started the mediation over. I had to travel to the mediation site, and we started at 10 a.m. And this was a case in which the lawyers, the parties, and even me as the mediator gave it less than a chance in hell of actually settling. And this is not atypical in boundary disputes, although of the hundreds I have done, the vast majority I have been able to settle, mostly through mediation.
But why was it not, why did you think you weren't going to be able to settle it?
Because just think about a boundary dispute. How do neighbors feel when the title holder, when the adverse possessor, sends a letter, or the lawyer sends a letter to the person who actually holds title by a deed, sends a letter and says, oops, you know, I got to tell you something. We've been occupying your property for 15 years, openly, notoriously, under a claim of right, without your permission, and voila. The statute in Michigan says that if we've done that for that 15-year period, that the adverse possessor, that title to that portion of property that was adversely possessed automatically transfers by operation of law to the adverse possessor. Now, I'm saying adverse possession. The claim, which was the mediation I did all day on Wednesday, and we finally settled at 9:08 that night. A deal was inked with all the essential terms between the neighbors who had been feuding bitterly. There was even a physical assault at one point that was brought before the judge. And that's, these things are difficult to settle because there's so much hostility, so much acrimony, so much animosity between the parties. That was the one, the mediation. Now, I will say that's the majority of them where the parties are at each other's throats because they think that, and in fact, that was one of the pleadings, a response to the actually complaint, or the response to the complaint filed by the adverse possessor was they're trying to steal our property. That's the title holder saying that.
What type of property was it? Was it a
residential? These are two expensive residences in.
But what type of
Detroit.
Was it? The side lot, front lot? Was it on a lake? What were they trying to steal?
No, there's no lake issue. They're actually on a lake, but that wasn't the issue because it had nothing. It had nothing to do with the lake. These are just two neighbors fighting over a portion of the area between their houses, and their houses were 22 feet apart. The distance that was being claimed by the adverse possessor at one end of the property, the street end, was about a foot, and at the other end where they were claiming it was about 4 feet. And there's nothing in there, no buildings, no improvements. There were sprinkler heads, there's some flowers, some rocks, and a bed for some arborvitae. But, I mean, they're fighting over a strip of land that has, if it were being appraised by an appraiser, would have next to zero value. And they had already been, this case has been going on for a year and a half.
Wow.
The parties had already.
That's a lot of legal fees.
Oh, they're talking, each side had already had to, and I didn't inquire as to what it was. I just made a comment at one point. But to get to this point, they've done all the discovery. They've done motions, all of this stuff. Trial was set in December. And probably wouldn't have gone then because they had deadlines of filing motions for summary disposition, which were last Friday. And they probably already spent on each side at least $40,000 or $50,000 to litigate this particular dispute. But I will say that I was impressed by the lawyers, and I was impressed by both sides, the clients for the lawyers, because they finally got... They got realistic. They got religion in terms of resolving it. And everybody was working hard to come up with a method of to solve this. And the resolution is confidential. I can't reveal what it is. But at any rate, I was very, very happy to have lawyers who understood mediation, who understood what it was supposed to be, and who worked with their respective clients to see if they couldn't come to grips with it. But that's what it often takes. And I talked about facilitative mediation last week as being – or no, I guess I talked about that in the class I taught last week, because I had a six-hour seminar last week, and we talked about
mediation. So can I ask a question? If you got a side lot or side boundary that you're disputing over, and you said the houses were 22 feet apart, so let's assume one was 10 feet from the property line and the other was 12 feet from the property line.
That's exactly what it was.
And let's say the 12-foot, the one that's 12 feet from the property line was adversely trying to claim a foot of the one that was 10 feet from the property line. What happens if the setback through the municipality is 10 feet?
What is that's one of the issues, but that is irrelevant for purposes of adverse possession. And then the other doctrine is called acquiescence. There are two doctrines whereby someone can claim the property which is actually titled to someone else. And the mediation I did last week, both claims were being made. They're in the alternative. That is an issue with respect to setback, but if you were trying to do this as a voluntary change in the boundary, you'd never get that approval because you would be violating the 10-foot setback on the one side. So, yeah, your point is well taken. But as far as adverse possession is concerned, the municipality can't stop it. And the fact that it renders the one lot no longer conforming is irrelevant. It's an existing nonconformity that the municipality isn't going to be able to do anything about it. And that is one of the issues you talk about, but it's not really all that material. But people should be aware. And then if you have someone who is using your property, this is probably the key to today's discussion, is that if someone else is occupying your property, and if you don't have a boundary survey, you may not know about it. And that's typical, too, is that most property owners don't have a boundary survey. Their boundary isn't marked with survey stakes. And so this can go on. The possession can go on for years and years. And, in fact, in the case I mediated last week, they had been there for, 1999. So what's that, 22 years. I had another one last week that I resolved because the parties actually were quite reasonable. The person who held legal title was really quite reasonable, and the lawyer representing that party was also a very good lawyer, very reasonable. I represented the adverse possessor, sent a letter out. The title holder contacted the lawyer. The lawyer and I and the parties worked it out without any kind of hostility, animosity, acrimony, etc. And that one was taken care of. We actually inked that deal and got it all resolved on Wednesday or Thursday. But the point here is if someone is possessing your property and you don't want to lose title to it, what you have to do is you have to do one of two things. You either have to stop the use, which means you kick them off your property. You better make sure that the 15-year period hasn't run, because if you're going to exercise self-help and you're wrong, you're liable for it. You're now trespassing on their property and you're going to be liable for that. The other way is to have that party who is adversely possessing your property sign a license or an agreement that says they are there with your permission and that permission is revocable at any time. What you can't do is simply send them a letter, say, hey, I understand you're on my property. I don't have any problem with it. I give you my permission. That's not enough. It requires an acknowledgement by the adverse possessor.
Do you have to renew the acknowledgement on any kind of basis for it to be effective? Annual? Once every 10 years?
No, what you would do is you typically do a revocable license, and you could put a term of a year, 2 years, or 3 years, whatever you want. But you want to make certain that it's revocable by you, the title holder, at any time.
Cool. Okay? Well, Greg has given me the three fingers, which means 3 minutes.
All right. Well, it's nice talking with you this morning, Greg. You have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Be good. Be careful.
All right.
All right.
So what do you got to sell?
Gosh, I don't have much left. I need people to, I need our listeners to call me.
There you go.
So I can keep, afford the advertising. Anyhow, 7 Bloomfield Boulevard.
It's a good time to sell a house right now?
It's still a good
People
market.
People are looking, right?
People are looking. People are waiting for the right house to come on the market. I've got a purchaser who's looking for a ranch up to $350,000 they've got some specific neighborhoods, but it needs to be newer than 1978, and it needs to be updated. So if you've got one of those, they don't want it out in the country. They want it in, you know, Summit or there's a couple locations in the city they would consider. But they're up to $350,000, and we just can't find anything out there. There is a lot of good property on the market, but a lot of things are dated. I don't know about you, but we've lived in our house since 1996, I think, and we renovated it in 1997 or 8 and haven't really done much since. And even though I think it's perfect, if I were to put my house on the market, it probably needs some updating in the eyes of a buyer. And that's pretty typical with what's on the market right now. But I do have 777 Bloomfield Boulevard that is on the market. It's a great little neighborhood and on a cul-de-sac and a boulevard. It's 3 to 4 bedrooms. It's got daylight windows in the basement. It's got an attic that has a... that's finished in knotty pine with a bathroom and 3 bedrooms on the second floor that are all huge, nice size, 2 full bathrooms, second floor laundry and laundry again in the basement. And the basement can be used as a bedroom because of the windows, or you can use it as another living space. The living room or the family room and the kitchen are open with, I mean, there's so many great spots in this house. There's a 3 seasons room with a fireplace that you can use actually for 4 seasons. There's 4 fireplaces, an amazing backyard. I mean, the list of amenities goes on and on and on. So if you want to see it, you should call me. We also have just a couple of places for rent right now. A 2 bedroom, a 1 bedroom, I think a couple of 1 bedroom places. And you know, the market's good. I'd love to help you buy or sell. So if you're thinking of buying or selling real estate, please call me, Laura Dwyer-Schlechte, Thinking Real Estate, 780-3800.